Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. I'm Pastor Christian, and with me is Pastor Ted.
Hi, everyone.
This week, we continue our conversation about evangelism. Ted tells a story about sharing the gospel with a friend, and we reflect on a portion of 1 Peter chapter 3. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 13 of the Zach Pod. Well, we're only halfway through our evangelism episode, but we've had a storm.
We did have a storm, quite the storm.
How'd you fare through the hurricane, Ted?
We fared good. God was good. He protected us. One congregant asked how much drugs did I take to calm me down, but didn't have to take any. The Lord was good. He gave me maybe just a sense of calmness. That he was going to take care of us through the storm.
I was out of town for it, but I heard it was a pretty wild one if you were here.
It was. It was during the night, it rocked and rolled, so to speak. You know, the house shook a little bit, and so grateful that I have two oaks in my backyard, and beforehand I was a little Pentecostal. I went out and laid hands on them, prayed over them, and my neighbor thought, hey, they're going to fall down, and I said, no, I prayed over them, laid hands on them, and I told the Lord afterwards, please keep them standing because it'll be a testimony for you. So that's
now you can tell the neighbor.
I did, yeah. So we got a testimony there. So the two oaks stand.
But is that the same neighbor who just cut down a tree?
Yes, yeah, yep.
So you were at your house, and then you looked on your Ring camera or something? How did you find out the tree was coming down?
Yeah, it was on my camera. I was actually probably here at the church. It was after Helene came through. His oak in his front was tilting. He said it was tilting on his house. He didn't want it to fall on his house, so he reached out. But I saw him ring my doorbell, and then he parked his truck in my driveway. And then I saw all the tree company come in and cut it down. And by the time I got home, it was done. It was gone.
Nice. I just love that your doorbell camera clued you into the fact that the tree was coming down.
Yeah, it did. It let me know. It's not as good as Omnipresence, but
but it's close.
It's
Ring, as close as we can get to Omnipresence.
Yeah.
And then he took the stump out the next day?
He did, yeah. They came back and took the stump out.
Have you ever had to take a stump out of the ground yourself?
I think so. Maybe at Lake Swan Camp when I was there, but I know one time we had to I was a college student at Lake Swan Camp, working at Lake Swan Camp in Melrose, Florida, and I was assigned that one morning during the summer that we had to clean out a septic tank, but we had to get the cement cover off, and that thing was heavier than heavy, weighed tons, and so me and another gentleman who was twice my size and 10 times stronger than me, which was good. we fought with that thing to get that lid off, and finally we did get that lid off. But getting a stump out of the ground is tough work.
I remember when I was a kid, my dad grew plants for some reason in his backyard. He lived on the beach, so it was like all sand. So I don't know what I felt like he had to water the flowers for hours,
yeah,
every day. And I just remember thinking, what is the point of this? But we had two like sago palm trees, little short like palm shrubs essentially, and I guess one of them died, and he's like, we got to get this stump out. I have never worked so hard in my life, like trying to cut into a sago palm. It was, yes, just like, I don't know, I'm sure I didn't have a very sharp tool. Yeah. It was definitely not a power tool. It was like an axe or something, and I was just, I'm sure after about 10 swings I thought I was dead, but it felt like I would cut forever, and just the roots would never, it felt like I was doing nothing. And then we would, you know, we'd work on it for an hour, and then we'd pull on it, and we're like, it's not going anywhere. Yeah, I think that's when I realized I need to go to college. I cannot do this with my life.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he was trying to teach me. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it could be. We lost a front bush in the front of our house, and my wife wanted to save it, so we had to dig that out. So Jason and I and my wife, all three of us had to work hard, mostly Jason, worked hard getting that out, and we had to dig it up and get to the roots, and we had to cut some of the roots out in mm-hmm. order to get it loose from the ground to transplant it.
Did it work? Did you rescue it?
It did. It worked. We worked. She put it in, put new dirt, watered it, and transported it into another spot in the yard. And yeah, I had to do that. But it is hard work.
Speaking of hard work, it's recovery time now in Zephyr Hills from the storm. So our prayer is definitely with everybody.
Our prayer is for all the people affected. And if we can just be kind, tenderhearted, loving toward one another, helpful toward one another in these days, even more so than we've ever been, considerate of others, I think that goes a long way.
Yeah. Tell me about a time when you shared your faith, maybe not in a instant, but like over a long period of time where somebody came to faith.
Yeah, I've got a great story. I'm so grateful to God for how he used me. I taught music lessons in West Palm Beach for several years, bivocational. We were planning a church there, but I also had to get a job teaching music lessons. I had about 40 students a week. But I had this one gentleman come in, and he lived in Palm Beach, very wealthy. But he came in, and we were teaching guitar. Well, then Mars Music went out of business. So I asked my students, if you want to continue on, you know, I'll drive to your house or whatever it may be. This one gentleman said, I'd like to continue guitar lessons. And the only card that I had, I didn't have my music teaching card. I had my pastor card. Mm. I gave him my pastor card. And he looked at that, and he saw that I was Reverend Ted O'Farrell, associate pastor of worship of the church I was at in South Florida. And he got, his face turned as red as a tomato, a ripe tomato, and he got very angry.
Wow.
And he said, don't expect me to treat you any different because you're a reverend. And he said, we can do guitar lessons, but I don't want to hear anything about your church. I don't want to hear anything about Jesus. I don't want to hear anything about anything like that, okay? I said, fine, that's no problem. He says, because I'm an atheist. And I just started laughing. And he goes, what's so funny? Because he was still angry. I said, well, the reason it's funny is because God has put me in your life to let you know there's a God. That's what I said to him. Okay. So over a course of 7 years, I went to his house every other week. We'd have an hour guitar lesson, or sometimes it'd be a 30-minute lesson and a 30-minute discussion. After a while, he started asking me about the church, and 3.5 years in, he called me up and says, I'm no longer an atheist. Okay. Really? He goes, yeah, I'm an agnostic. I said, really? He says, well, I think there's somebody up there, but he doesn't care about me. I said, well, okay. We kept on. I kept praying for him, and I didn't really go intentionally to share the gospel, just being me, you know. After about 7 years, toward the end of that, I started inviting him to some outreach. The worship band that I was in, we would play in parks, and so I'd invite them to do that. And a couple times, I would see him around Christmas time, way, way, way in the back with a chair, whatever, just listening to the music. So at the end of 7 years, he called me up, and he said, Ted, I got something to tell you. What? He says, I am no longer an agnostic. I go, really? He goes, no, I believe in Jesus. I accepted Christ. I said, you're kidding me. He goes, no. I said, how did this happen? He said, come on out next lesson, and I'll tell you. So I came out. We talked the whole hour. He shared with me how he came to Christ. And basically, it was the Holy Spirit just working on his life over the 7 years. His mom was old at that time, ended up going to the hospital, and he was all alone. And he just cried out to God, and he said, he goes, I know my mom has a Bible here somewhere. She wasn't going to church, wasn't a believer. But he says he knew that she had a Bible. So he found the Bible in her home, and he goes, and he was all alone. And he says, God, if you're real, I'm going to open up this Bible, and I want you to show me that you're real. And if you're real, I'll give my life to you. But if you don't, I'll open up this Bible, and you don't show me, then God, that's it, I'm done. So he did. He opened up, and he opened up the Psalms, and man, it just hit him like a 2x4 in the head, and accepted Christ. He had the wherewithal, if the Holy Spirit was leading him, he went to a Christian bookstore the next day and got a Life Application Bible and started reading the Gospel of Matthew. And so then he and I went through Matthew together. And then 2 weeks later, as he was going through it, he says, man, this is so good. You think I can buy a Bible like this and give it to my mom and ask her to read it along with me? I said, sure. So he started doing that. And after about a month, his mom started reading the Word with him. Wow. And his mom accepted Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord restored his relationship with his sister up in Georgia that he hadn't talked to for over 30-some-odd years.
Wow.
Amazing transformation. It took 7 years, and it was just being faithful. Sometimes God may not tell you to use a method, but just to share your life over a course of time and be consistent in that. They'll see your flaws. They'll see your frustrations, but they'll also see the peace of Christ in you.
That's good.
And when they see that, they'll want that.
That's a great story of like faithfulness too. And I appreciate that you said too, it's like they're going to see the ups and the downs in your life. They're not going to just see you living a perfect life, because none of us do. And
right.
It's not charmed, and it's not. But there's something different.
There's something different. Yes.
You know, there's a satisfaction in life. And that's got to be a key component of evangelism too, that you are living in such a way that you're connected to God.
Right.
You know, not only is that going to make you more interested in sharing the gospel with others, but it's going to make you more interesting to others.
Yeah.
To want to ask
about absolutely.
You. And that's a great story too, because he was so opposed.
Very much.
To the whole idea.
Extremely.
You know.
And through that, you could see he had a nickname. They called him the Hammer in business, because he was ruthless. He was just, and God over those 7 years just melted all that away, and he became gentle, and he became generous, and it was just amazing transformation. And what it wasn't me. It wasn't any methodology. It was the Holy Spirit, the faithfulness of God's people praying, and the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit just leading him. When we do evangelism, when we're sharing, we're not sharing the faith, the gospel of Jesus, because we think we're better than the person we're sharing it with. And I think sometimes that has come across in the church's methodology. We need to share it because we have discovered Jesus Christ in all his fullness, and we don't want others to miss it. We're not saying we're better. We've just been blessed, and for right now, in this time frame, in order to share it with others who don't have him yet.
Yeah.
You know.
No, that's good. And I don't think we think we're better.
Yeah.
Sometimes we come off like
we come off that.
And yeah, it could be methodology. It could be that, like, oh, it's because I have this script memorized. But yeah, also, it could be that we sit there and we think we're right. You know, look, I know better than you. I'm right.
Yeah.
I'm right. And that's not the most generous or hospitable attitude to receive somebody into, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're rolling up there, hey, I'm ready to win this fight. All the people that I know who came to faith through our ministry in China, it was never instant. It was through creating friendships and sometimes pretty long-term things. But it was because they observed in our lives something different than what they normally experienced.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get to the bottom of what that was. And some people got to the bottom of it and decided they couldn't change their life to that degree. They couldn't change their belief system to that degree. And remained friends with us, but just didn't want to enter the kingdom. And we continue to pray for them.
Yeah.
But others decided that it was worth that change, you know? And yeah, stories of somebody got saved, and then so does her boyfriend, and then so does her parents, you know, because she observed in somebody on our staff this way of being that she decided was better. She was like, actually, this is a better way of engaging with life. Our missionaries also impacted people, I don't want to say in the opposite way, but I had people come to us and say, okay, what does it mean to be a Christian? And I would explain, you know, this joy that we have and this gift that we found. And she would say, that's really interesting. She's like, all the Christians that I know are busy and stressed.
Yeah.
And those are the main things that I would describe. And the problem is, the only Christians that she knew were us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And so what were we exhibiting to her as we invited her into our lives? Now, the truth of the matter is, we were busy and we were stressed. But I was thinking about that when you were talking about not being so self-centered, or how we need to be centered on Christ. Going through my day, how much of my day do I spend thinking about my to-do list and what I have to get done?
Right.
And that leads to busyness and it leads to stress. That's not what it means to be a Christian.
No.
But if that's how I'm living out in the world, and that's what I'm inviting people into, I'm a Christian. Don't you want to be one too? You mean Do I want to be
busy and stressed?
Busy and stressed and overwhelmed with all the things that I have to do and guilty because I'm not doing the things God wants me to do? I'm not sure that I want that actually at all.
Yeah. And, you know, in the midst of our brokenness, we share Jesus. And I think there is value in that because others see the flaws and they can appreciate the flaws, I think, because we are all broken, you know, all of us. Yeah.
First Peter 3:8-18. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. In conversations about evangelism, we often quote 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, which is a great verse. I think that's a guideline for evangelism. But I also appreciate the stuff that's around it as instructive to sharing our faith.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Peter here in chapter 3, verse 8, he says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Stop there and say, well, I got to work on those.
Yeah.
Then he goes further. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. When someone gives you the Hawaiian greeting sign, how do you respond? He goes on and says, on the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Wow. So it's that practicing, you know, of being like Christ.
When you live that way, when you're like-minded with others and sympathetic and hospitable and showing compassion and humility, and when people are mean to you and you're not mean to them back, then somebody's going to ask you why.
Right.
So then you should be prepared to give an answer.
Yeah.
Because they're going to ask you, why are you like this?
Yeah, I think verse 15, revere Christ as Lord. You're filled with the Spirit, okay, as we talked about earlier. And then you're prepared to give an answer. So you're sharing your testimony. You're sharing what Jesus means to you, the verses that God's given you for the day, because the person is asking you to give the reason for the hope that you have.
Right.
There's that ask.
Verses 10 through 12 are quoted directly from the Psalms. I don't know if it's Psalm 40, maybe? Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. This is kind of the, how I would read it is, this is the blessing that you're inheriting.
Yeah.
Right? Is that if you want to see good days and long life, and you want the eyes of the Lord to be on you. His eyes are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. That's the blessing that you're receiving when you are repaying evil with blessing instead of repaying evil with evil.
Yeah.
You have to turn from evil and do good. You have to seek peace and pursue it, because the eyes of the Lord are on people like this, and his face is against those who do evil. And so it's just like, hey, do good in the world, right?
Yeah.
How do you share faith? Step one, do good in the world.
Yeah.
Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? And even if they do harm you, you're blessed. You're receiving this blessing, right?
And there are creative ways to do good in the world today, right? Mm. Even you go through a checkout line, you're kind to the cashier. There might be, like, you might have waited a half hour, 45 minutes, you know, but you're kind and considerate to those around you, to those ahead of you. The little things, when someone's in need, you're willing to help them. You know, those are the little things, the little practices there.
And it says keep a clear conscience, right? Verse 16, it's like, yeah, you want to, as much as possible, keep a clear conscience and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you so that you're doing good. And then if people are talking bad about you, it's actually slander. It's not true. Yeah. If people are talking bad about you because you've behaved poorly, you know, I think I said elsewhere, I think a lot of the hate that Christians get online, it's because we've been putting out hate online. You know what I mean? We've been behaving in a certain way.
That's right.
And then we shouldn't be surprised when people, it's not slander when they say, hey, why are you guys so mean? What do you mean? We're not mean. We're just obedient.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Actually, you've been mean.
Sometimes when we allow our thumbs to express what's going on in our conscience on the internet, and we say, well, we're just presenting the truth. And it might be true, but again, it's how are we presenting it? Are we presenting it with love, or are we presenting it because we want to prove that we're right? So people can interpret that many different ways.
Right. You might be fully doing it out of love and it doesn't come across that way. Or, you know, it's not necessarily all your fault when they take it wrong.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I want to be clear about that too. But I really like the closing with verse 18. Christ also suffered.
Yes.
He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. And there's a sense in which in your sharing of your faith, in that vulnerability, you might... You know, somebody might not receive it how you want. It might hurt your feelings. It might hurt you even physically.
Yeah.
But like that kind of suffering, if you've got a clear conscience and man, you're just doing it out of this love for the Lord and people don't respond right. It's like, well, in that you can identify with Christ who also suffered. What you're doing is laying your life out there to bring people to God. And that's, you can identify with Christ when you do that.
Yeah, no, that's good. And sometimes you will do good and you will suffer for it, you know, that, and that's okay. To God be the glory in all things. I'm so thankful that Christ did take upon himself all of our sin and he suffered. Paul says, I want to know you, the power of your resurrection, but also the fellowship of your sufferings. But Christ rose again from the grave and he gives hope to all who believe in him, that we too will live with him forever. And he will give you that energy and that wisdom as you cultivate your relationship with him to be that witness, to bring glory and honor to him as you're filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit.
That's good. Thanks again for joining us on the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast. We're glad you're here, and we want to invite you to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want to connect with us further, find us on Facebook and visit our website, zaccma.org.